Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Post Collision Post Show. My name is Cresta Star. I'm here with the beautiful, the illustrious SP3. It is June 21st, and we have a lot to talk about. First and foremost, hi, SP3. How are you?
I am doing well. I am been asked to fill in as my substitute teacher role is still continuing my work study program of substitute teaching on FIFL is back and here with Cresta, my favorite person to talk about wrestling on a Saturday night.
Hey, I love talking about wrestling with you, SP3. And shout outs to you guys. If you saw me doing a double header, I was on Grab City earlier. And then today, many hours later, we are now doing Collision. What did you think about Collision this evening?
I thought it was the best episode of Collision in quite some time. I think that Collision, you know, having to do the back half of the 4-hour shows wasn't always at its peak. And I got questioned by a lot of people because I've been one of the advocates of Collision this year that it's been better than last year. And then people that watched it on Wednesday nights were like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, this is not Collision at its finest. This was Collision at its finest. We got some big moments, some great promos, some good wrestling throughout the night, and closed off with an Athena match, which is always an A+ in my book.
I agree. I think Collision tonight was a very watchable episode. Before I knew it, it was 10 o'clock and we were already in the overrun. Guys, yeah. If you want to get in on the conversation, please go ahead and send us a super chat. You can see that over here on YouTube, or you can send us a Humper Chat over on humperchats.com. Either way, we get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds on Humper Chats. Myself or SP3 will read them aloud and we will talk to you. Also, if you're watching this after the fact, please give us a thumbs up on this video. Also consider subscribing whether you're watching live because we are so close to 180,000. 180,000 is crazy, but we're at 179 and some change, but now it could be up to you. Be the change in FIFL you want to see. We also have a Patreon that gives you scoops. Sean Rossap got contract scoops. We got Axe Grapsity. All these things. And $6. $6 to not get the aggregation nation. To get it from the source. Fightful. Fightful Select. Fightful.com. All righty. You ready, SP3?
Yes, let's do it.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and just highlight this really quickly. If you can afford Labubus, you can afford Fightful Select. Bam.
Those Labubus are expensive, indeed.
I don't know anything about Labubu. To me, it's just a small tickle me Elmo.
I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'm just going to go with the flow.
You know what? We open up tonight's show with John Moxley with Wheeler Yuta versus AR Fox. I thought this was an odd choice, but the match was good. John Moxley just bit him a lot, and I kind of live for that. to me, this match was exactly what you thought it was going to be. AR Fox getting in some offense, John Moxley eventually beating him up, and we do get the win here with a rear naked choke till AR Fox passes out. Before we get into the post-match, do you have anything to add about this, SP3? How do you feel about it?
AR Fox has entered into the Mark Briscoe category of he can never have a bad match. He has a good match with everybody. He just needs a couple of minutes to go crazy on offense. Love the all the unique cutters he hit. He hit like a low cutter, a rolling cutter. Just he's an innovator in the way that he's able to get to the cutter position. And he worked, he had a nice babyface comeback here, but this was more about Jon Moxley getting a win in singles competition, because it's not like Jon Moxley wins all the time, to the annoyance of all of us AEW fans as of late, but he needed the win here to kind of set up the post-match where he addressed Hangman Adam Page.
And we get into the post-match with Jon Moxley saying, and I wrote a lot of this down, he said, "Hangman, this guy, I am tired of waiting on this guy. I'm tired of watching this guy piss away his talent, his gifts, his opportunity. I'm sick of him, and I'm not as patient as you fans. I'm sick of waiting for the cowboy. I'm sick of the cry baby cowboy crap." And he said, "I'm going to run Hangman out of professional wrestling on July 12th.
He was not happy. He was not happy that Hangman came down on his horse like the cowboy that he is and made the save for the baby faces, specifically Swerve Strickland. I wanted to hear from Swerve on this show. I heard from Swerve with Hangman inadvertently helping him and making the save for him on Wednesday. So this was a nice response from Moxley. And Moxley, I think, as of late, has been better on his promos. He's always had great delivery, but he hasn't really had the material to kind of sink his teeth into. And I think now that he's going addressing Hangman Adam Page, someone that he knows, that he's used to, he's calling him out and basically saying, this is do or die for you. This is more about you kind of your redemption story, while I'm just going to continue to do what I do, and that's beat everybody and annoy us AEW fans.
No, I agree with that 100%, because there's also discourse around who's going to beat Jon Moxley. If we're tired of him, who's actually going to beat him? And it seems, even with the promo Ospreay cut on Hangman, I thought it was me. It's not you, it's not me, it's got to be Hangman. And I agree. And if it's not Hangman at this point, I'm ready to hang it up and do what I did with Roman Reigns. And just at some point, you get tired of losing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if that's where it comes to, he might be my tribal chief. You know what I mean? At one point, I was sick of Roman, and that just gave up the ghost, because he doesn't lose. He doesn't lose. The Death Riders hit y'all with the same trick every match. Every match. I'm a cheat. I'm a bite. I'm a stab. I'm a pin. So,
and it ends with a bulldog choke, as always.
You're going with to John sleep, pal. Night, night. Me. So at this point, if it's not Hangman, I give up.
We're gonna have to wait for Darby until like October. Oh God, please Hangman, please save us. Please save us, Hangman, please.
We do get a backstage promo that leads into the next match with Adam Cole, Bandido, Danny Garcia, and Roderick Strong. They just say, "We're going to beat you guys up." And then it goes into the match where they take on the Don Callis family of Konosuke Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher versus FTR, Dax Harwood, my man, Cash Wheeler, and Stokely Hathaway. Dax Harwood was wilding on Twitter, but my man.
Stokely Hathaway is my favorite promo in AEW, not named Tony Storm. I just enjoy every time he talks backstage. He kicked off the show with the little promo. He's happy Cash Wheeler is back with them. They got Proto Shida, and they're going to beat the baby faces. And then the baby faces kind of had the response. I did like the handshake between Daniel Garcia and Bandito. I did not know that they go to clubs together and they dance, or whatever Bandito does. You know, he's that guy in the club who does like all the gunshots, like, hey, to all the girls. He's like, hey, you
see his chest? If I had his chest, I'd be doing that too. You're all gonna look right here. That's I work out.
Do you think he wears the mask in the club as well?
I think he'd get more recognized if he wore the mask in the club. You take it off. Who's that guy? I don't know.
That's true.
That's like true. I know what Rey Mysterio looks like because of WWE programming. I don't know what Bandido look like.
Or WCW programming.
Oh yeah. Or if you look at Juventud Guerrero, I mean, they're the same person. I'm sorry.
No.
They look alike.
Very nice.
This match was, I don't know if you expected this match to be bad or if you expected this match to be mediocre. This match could have no storyline. This match was great. This match was fantastic. There was a nice recover from a standing Blue Thunder Bomb that, oh my goodness, Bandido recovered from that Blue Thunder Bomb because Dax tried to put him into it. And then he hit him with a drop kick, which was fantastic. There was another hot tag from Danny that came in. And I also felt tonight that Dax was wrestling against Danny with a little extra stank on it. You know what I mean? Just being a little bit stiffer with him. Kyle Fletcher, come on. Like, he's so good. He's so good. He's so good. I have nothing but good beats to say. Do you have anything to add before I just keep listing off the my whole list of good moves that happened during this match?
Kyle Fletcher seems to get bigger every time I see him. I think that he basically hunts down kangaroos in Australia and fries them up, and he eats them, and he gets bigger every time I see him. And he's just a great professional wrestler. He's one of my he's grown to be one of my favorites in AEW. One of my top five is Konosuke Takeshita. Takeshita is one of the best wrestlers in the world. It doesn't matter how much time he's in. Doesn't matter if it's singles match, tag team match, or this eight-man tag team match. He always stands out. I like the fact that he was mixing it up with Bandido because I've seen them wrestle before. They wrestled in the matchup on Rampage, I think, in 2023 that Bandido got injured in. And I want to see them go at it now because Bandido seems like he's in rare form. I don't know if you've seen it, but his two matches in Arena Mexico on Tuesday against Masquerada Dorada, that's one of the best high-flying Lucha Libre matches I've seen all year. The tag team matchup on Friday night with Bandido and Hologram versus Masquerada Dorada and Mystico was fantastic. Yep. I just watched that right before Collision, so I really feel like Bandido has found his form that he was in back when he was on the indies and tearing it up. He's really come into great shape, and he's killing it in the ring, so I want to see him and Takeshita go one-on-one. So I love that minutes of them going back and forth in this matchup. And you're absolutely right. Dax and Cash, anytime they were in the ring with Danny Garcia, they're continuing that rivalry, and we see the intensity between them just slapping and chopping each other. Really good stuff here. And in the end, it was FTR with the Shatter Machine on Roderick Strong, because when I looked at the babyface side, I was like, Roddy, you're probably going to be the one who takes the fall here. Sorry, even though Roddy Strong is still Roddy Strong, despite it being two decades of me seeing him in the ring, he's great, but he had to be the one to take the fall here.
I will give Roddy his flowers. When he took out Takeshita's knee to save Adam Cole from that, I don't know, power drive or whatever it was he was about to give that man, I was like, wow, that was a miss. He almost pushed the man's knee back the other way. I was like, what are you doing, Roderick? The heels do beat down the faces. So the Don Callis family plus FTR beat down Paragon plus Danny Garcia and Bandido. And then the Outrunners come out. And man, let me tell you, I love the Outrunners. I don't care. I love them. They're about to get beat up, but I love them.
I mean, they came out. I love FTR played it off like, we're friends. What you guys doing here? We're gonna work out again. They are so good as these like kind of sarcastic yet like purposely delusional type heels who still think they're baby faces. It's great stuff. So I can't wait to see the FTR probably murder the Outrunners. That should be fun.
No, truly, because I gotta say, it's them in the lore 1990s accurate outfit. That man had the hammer pants on, like the Jordan ones, like the Space Jam Jordan. The other man had on the short shorts. Like, bro, those shorts, those are illegally short. Like, those look like 1990s basketball, but they had the extra thick socks on. The best character work, I don't care, next to Tony Storm, Lost in a Time Period on the Outrun.
It's like they both went in the time machine and one dropped off in the 80s, the other went to 1950.
Honestly, never change. If I can't tell my friends about a wrestler who's stuck in the 50s, a modeler, a zombie at one point, a guy who climbed Mount Everest and got yeeted through a car, I don't want it. I don't want it. It hasn't been the same since Undertaker was shooting lightning.
And they dropped off Jamie Hayter in the 60s and 70s to get her clothes.
She's with the Scooby-Doo.
She's in the Mystery Machine. She just comes out the Mystery Machine like, where'd you get all this great fashion? There you go.
You tripping.
Daphne.
Honestly, a brawling Daphne. All right, we're moving on, ladies and gentlemen. We did get a promo from the women in the 8 women tag match. And the first women faces, which I, Athena. No, wrong, because Athena, a face. Thunder Rosa.
To me, yes.
She's not wrong. So we had Ty Mello, Anna Jay, Queen Amanada, and Thunder Rosa say, we're going to win. Heck you guys. But the whole point of this promo was Athena literally looking at them going, you're whack, you're twisted, your girl's a hoe, you're broke, the kid ain't yours, and everybody know.
Athena just did the whole promo for her whole team. She's like, Spider Lady, I still don't like you. Never liked you, and I'm bigger than you.
Yo, give Athena everything. Everything. Everything.
Athena Elite Wrestling. Put it on a t-shirt. Put it on Come a t-shirt. On and put her on Collision Dynamite every single week. Tony Khan is perpetually online. He heard us this week after Athena talked to my boy Rick Uccino for the takedown on SI.
And says that
she wasn't sure. She wasn't sure about her being on All In, and he said, you know what? I'm going to put her on Collision. Tony Khan thought Rick was going to do the review tonight. So that's his purposely why he put Athena on Collision tonight.
He was like, Athena, we got you. Let me stop the presses for 1 second. 1916 Batman.
Whoa, thank you
for the rest of the channel. Y'all are the best. Love your energy. I love you, bro. Thank you so much for dropping
love you.
The boss. This man said, I'm Bruce Wayne. I'm actually Bruce Wayne.
I was so confused. I've seen a lot of super chats. I've never seen a 99.99. I was like, why is the super chat red? I was like, I've never seen that color for a super chat. Thank you. Thank you, 1916.
So much. We appreciate
1916.
You.
1916.
Jeez. He hit us with the Wayne coffers and said, go ahead, put some D's on it. We appreciate you. I mean, that's a good way to segue out of that. Athena, get money. Next. We do have another super chat. Let me make sure I'm reading it right for the next one. Okay, because we are coming up to the Timeless Tony Storm promo. So I'll read this one now. We do have a super chat from Michael Allen Lewis that says, hey, Cressa and SP3, favorite review duo. Thank you. Do you think the casino gauntlet match announced for All In will be for the women?
I think what it should be, because they made it so kind of ambiguous, they should do it for both. Do a men's and women's casino gauntlet, because there is also a lot of men that are kind of don't have a story. Like I said, my boy is Konosuke Takeshita. He doesn't really have a story going into All In. You know, someone like a Josh Alexander. We got someone else who came back on this show that can be in.
Where's Brian Cage?
I mean, Brian Cage, I think, is injured, to be fair. to be fair. I think so. You got Mark Briscoe, who I love to see. Ricochet is recruiting people, but he doesn't have necessarily a story or a feud going into All In, and he debuted in the Casino Gauntlet last year at All In. But more importantly than all, yes, Michael, it needs to be the Women's Casino Gauntlet, because you have the two top titles involved in this matchup between Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné. You need to get as many women as possible on this card, and the Casino Gauntlet is the best way to do that. Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, Marina Shafir, Tekla, Queen Aminata, Athena. Especially Athena, who should probably win the Casino Gauntlet in Texas, Thunder Rosa, the list goes on and on. They have such a deep women's roster, and they need to highlight that at All In. And I think the Casino Gauntlet is the easiest way for them to do that.
I concur. I agree with that. I do think, like what SP3 said, a men's gauntlet would be nice. However, I think with the criticisms of AEW with how they book the women and how they have been trying to make amends for that, I'll give credit where credit is due. This would be another sign of goodwill. And you just named off a million women. There's a Megan Bain. You could set up interactions with other people, a returning Britt Baker, maybe. You know what I mean? Doesn't have to be her, but it could be somebody else. I think the Casino Gauntlet would be a great idea, because I feel if you book your around your women's division, your wrestling card will be stronger overall.
Yeah.
That's just my take on it. We do have a timeless Toni Storm promo.
Chef's Art. Kiss.
Art.
Best part of the show.
I just
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Agree. The best part of the show was the Swerve Shane Taylor match.
I mean, that was the funniest part of the show. I think that this is the best part of the show, but I'm not going to argue with you.
They betted
on a wrestling match, and it was legit money and Henny involved. So that's gonna get high marks from the both of us. So
bro, it's the way they were like, "What you doing, Tony Schiavone?" And Tony Schiavone's like, "I can't be doing this in public, but let me put 100 Quick, we skipping ahead. We have this timeless Tony. Where in the world is timeless Toni Storm?
The Carmen Sandiego in the world is Carmen Stormiego.
Honestly, the reference was there. This Bob was there when she said, "Is this all I am to you? Is this belt just another collection? I'm not some other motherfucker." I was like, "Oh!"
I was like, "Yo, no bleep, no bleep, no bleep." She said, "I'm gonna say this in the best way I can, Mercedes. I'm not some other motherfucker." What?
I popped. The moment of sincerity, because I've been flip-flopping who's going to win between her and Mercedes, when she said, "One day my reign will be over and there's no one more deserving than you." I'm like, I could see Seven Belt Moné, and out of everyone, it'd be a nice thing. Listen, I live for CEO. But also, when she then said, I'm trying not to laugh. I'm manic, neurotic, erotic, constantly sweaty, bottom heavy, transatlantic whore. I'm like, oh, no, she won.
It's like bars. Yeah, maybe I see some people got the bleep on TBS or Max. I watch it on Fight, and I did get no bleep, so I'm happy to be international. I got no
He's
bleep.
Internationally known on the microphone. He ain't getting no bleep. Man.
The way this was shot, the her doing the final kind of bit of the promo, and she's looking up and she's cutting a promo, her starting off with the hat and everything, then she takes off the hat and she's got the hair style like this, the mop going on, and her mop was looking good. Then she takes off the jacket, she gets the cadence of her voice, uh-huh, and delivery. She conveys so much nuanced emotion in her promos, yet she plays this kind of unorthodox, weird character that you, like you said, you can say it's on that level of like one of like the more wacky characters out there, a dead zombie from Death Valley, or a cosmic warrior who came from the sun, and you got the 1950s starlet who's living in 2025 and it comes in black and white sometimes, but if she's wearing a red jacket and a red hat, she's in color. Like, it's just so great, and how she's able to combine the character with a real life story and telling her like how she saw Mercedes and she does, she's the greatest of all time, and you know, for you on July 12th, I'm going to have to beat you. For you, you're going to have to kill me. And she said, if you go come at me, I'm the AEW Women's World Champion. I will eat you alive. Bars.
Happy Pride, y'all. Happy Pride.
I think like this promo, and like I had some people, and this is me saying this as someone that has enjoyed plenty a great promo this year. Like, whether it's last night with John Cena's pipe bomb, or the Will Ospreay Hangman Adam Page promo before AEW Double or Nothing, there's no promos that match up with Toni Storm. Toni Storm might be the greatest woman's talker in pro wrestling history. Like, no one moves me and makes me feel these things the way that Toni Storm does. Whether it's her revealing that she's always been Timeless Toni Storm when she was the rookie, whether it was her talking about an orgy with the women's division after she won the AEW Women's World Championship, she won the Hollywood ending, the promo before the Hollywood ending against Mariah May. Like, you can have, in 2025, alone, there is a top five Toni Storm promos that probably beat out any men's promo this year.
Talk about it. Shake it up. I will say, because I am a Zelina Vega stan, I've heard Zelina getting some people's butts, but I will say she's from New York, and talking shit out here is a love language. So I will give Toni Storm her absolute flowers. I would love Seven Belts Monet. But if that doesn't happen, I'm not mad about it. Because also, too, I was one of those people who are like, okay, but after we do Timeless Toni Storm and she does it with Blake Monroe, where does she go from here? Because it kind of felt like one needed the other. And now that's simply not the case. Not the case at all.
Yeah, she just keeps delivering. And yeah, like RM said in the chat, like with this kind of wacky character, it's wild the fact that she's authentic. She's very believable. She has so much genuine kind of passion that she shows in her promo work, where we've kind of met the point of like 2023, she turns into this whole Timeless Toni Storm character. And you're like, okay, this is kind of weird, and she's kind of trying to work it in the matches and it wasn't really working. And then, you know, I always go back to the Azumi matchup on Collision back in 2024, where she really found her working shoes and working boots again, and she was able to have great matches but still be the character at the same time. And but we finally met the point where we are kind of getting Toni Storm story mixed with the Timeless character. Yeah. And I think that it's just made her promo work, her character work on another level. And she's still putting on fantastic matches. The Hollywood ending is still a top three, top two match of the year so far. She had a great match with Megan Bain. She's about to have a match of the year candidate with Mercedes Moné. No doubt in my mind about it. So she's a wrestler of the year candidate right now.
Absolutely.
Timeless Toni Storm.
Like, the only way this could get better for me is if Toni Storm, Mercedes Moné, and Athena just somehow universed in that. Book it. Just book it. Our next match is a mixed trios match. Yeah. We got Hologram, Willow Nightingale, and Mark Briscoe versus MXN, which consists of Mansoor and Mason Madden, with Taya Valkyrie and Johnny TV. If I don't know about y'all, but for me, this match was fan service. I lived, I died. This was silly. This was perfect. I loved it. MXN, I want them on my TV all the time. I don't care. Their intro with the touching tips and then these two kissing, I was like, get this off my screen. I like it. This is, I mean, I don't know what you expected. The Froggy Bowl gets the win. Do you have anything to add?
This is just sports entertainment at its finest. MXM Collection, they're just effortlessly entertaining with what they do and their act, and they fit in very well with what Johnny TV and Taya Valkyrie do, and they just constantly are the fall guys for the conglomeration. It doesn't matter what combination of the conglomeration it is, these guys are gonna lose to it, and especially now that they are the Hologramma Nation, and they got Hologram as the newest member of the conglomeration. They're gonna get more wins because Hologram don't lose. Like when came out at Arena Mexico, I was like, yeah, Ricochet should probably win this $4 million matchup because it would be hilarious where he thinks he's a millionaire and then he gets the conversion rate and he realizes he's only $200,000. But Hologram, once Hologram came out, I was like, oh, he's not losing. This man was in a tag team match on Friday night against Mystico in Arena Mexico, who MJF, who never loses on TV, don't matter how he loses, he lost on Wednesday because he was versing Mystico in his cathedral. He was versing the Pope in the cathedral. So he was not going to win against Mystico with the way that crowd, that incredible entrance he had on Wednesday. But somehow, some way, you put Hologram opposite Mystico, and Mystico lost on Friday night. Hologram don't lose. He don't. Conglomeration, win rate gonna go up. They're gonna go to the pay window a lot more now.
I love that. I think this is a good time to hear from our sponsors. The young, the illustrious Blue Chew.
We need to talk about your mailman. Doesn't need to know your business. Doesn't need to know you're looking to have better sex. Fortunately, Blue Chew is here. It arrives in a discreet package. But let's get back to the start. Maybe you want that performance, that edge in bed. Blue Chew has you covered. So, here's the deal. You take their online consultation, and if approved, you get a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis for a fraction of the price. Not just that, no awkward doctor's visits in person, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door, but mailman's not going to know what's in that package, but somebody's going to know what your package is bringing. Maybe it is the mailman or mailwoman. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they want you to drop something off by their back door. Well, with Blue Chew, you're going to be able to do that. Use the code FIGHTFUL. BlueChew.com.
BlueChew.com. Use the code FIGHTFUL. Be a tag team by yourself. Speaking of a lone tag team... We do have backstage exclusive footage, I guess, from last week where Lexi Nair runs in to an angsty Chris Statlander. Her hair is all black now. Her makeup's dark. It's not a phase, Mom. So Lexi Nair is like, hey, you know, you just saw that match. And Chris is like, I don't want to hear it. Everyone was talking about other people. When am I getting booked? What about me? What about Jujubee? Then here come Wheeler Yuta. She looks at Wheeler Yuta like, hell nah. If you don't get out of here, emo boy, I know what you're about to do. And Wheeler Yuta's like, hey, I'm not the bad guy, but I told you so. And she mushes Yuta, and I was like, oh man, that's what you need. Heck that guy. And then she bumps into John Moxley. I was like, yikes, he's going to kill you, sis. Jump scare. John Moxley doesn't do anything. He says, don't let anyone tell you who you are. Be who you are. Gotta give the acting to Chris, who the whole time is like, panicking. okay? Against John Moxley. I mean, John Moxley, yo, he be hitting women. It's up for anybody.
He did give Willow the paradigm shift. So that I think Chris understood that he could snap at any moment. He could break her phone. That's what she was really worried about. She
was like $2,000 now or something like that.
She was like, all my pictures going to be in the cloud. I don't know how I'm going to get that without my phone.
Scary times. Asking for my ID and I don't got that. It's in my phone. This was fine. I like angsty Chris, but I don't want her in the Death Riders. Is that bad to say?
It's understandable to say. But on the other hand, to be the devil's advocate, I want to see Chris Statlander on my TV more. And I do agree with her. I want to see her in the ring a lot more. You know, you had Willow and Taya in that mixed trios matchup. You had 8 women in the main event, but Chris Statlander hasn't been competing in the ring. She's been angsty. She's been having to deal with Will Ayuda, a fallout boy with his big bangs that he had to get it out of his eyes. He was like, shit, we're going down swinging.
When he did that, I was like, what in the Clifford?
He's like, I'll be your number one with a bullet.
And no,
going down, sugar, we're going down swinging.
All right, not too much on Fallout Boy. Not too much. All of that on Yuta, but not too much on Fallout Boy. That was my this ain't a scene.
I'll be singing like sugar. We're going down. If you see me at a karaoke, I'm picking one of those songs, man. Fallout Boy is where is that? That's why I made the reference. But
next time I see you, we're doing karaoke, and I'm holding you to it, and we're gonna put it on Fightful for you guys.
Got you. You are in deal. We're going on Fightful Select. They gotta pay money to see us. But no, I really like this segment because you can see John Moxley has brought himself into this, because in the previous segments that we've seen with Chris Statlander interacting with the Death Riders, we've seen Willie Yuta kind of trying to play mind games with her and kind of tell her that she needs to stop kind of being in the shadow of Willow Nightingale, stop worrying about Willow forgiving her. She needs to stand up on her own 2 feet and start doing things for herself. Like, she hasn't been the same since best friends broke up while he's been successful with the Death Riders. And I liked her just pushing him down, and I like Moxley getting involved because Moxley is someone whose words will probably mean more to Chris Statlander than Willa Yuta, because Willa Yuta was someone who was pretty much her equal, if not her equal, her underling in the best friends kind of ecosystem before, and he's an underling in the Death Riders. So Moxley, the AEW world champion, one of the most important figures in AEW history, him saying this to Chris Statlander should make some type of difference. So I'm really excited to see what's the next chapter and what kind of story they're telling with Chris interacting with the Death Riders.
I apologize for those faces. Let me tell you, I was like, whoa, we didn't talk about the swerve match, and I know this happened already. What happened? I need to skip.
I was either going to wait till you get too far in and be like, no, we need to talk. We didn't really talk about it. We only said we got excited talking about all the money being spent and the henny. All they needed was some dominoes or some dice out there. Like, I would have felt right at home. It would have felt like I was in the barbershop in Harlem, and I'm in the UK right now.
What's that influencer with the blonde hair who has the almost could have made it records? Because if he would have commentated on this, that'd be the only thing to make it funnier. I can't think of his name, but you know who I'm talking about. He's always on Twitter. He's the guy who does the funny skits. Drewski. Yeah. All you needed was Drewski at this point. That's all you needed. This was my match of the night, okay? All right. First, we're going to hit us with the super chat. From Michael Allen Lewis saying, first ever, we want Hennessy chat in wrestling during the Shane and Swerve. I'm dead. When this match started, I didn't think it was going to be this blackety black with black, y'all. Okay. I thought it was going to be a regular match.
I'm black, y'all.
I felt like
I was watching an episode of BMF or The Shy. It was great.
Stop. He's looking at Booker's promotion. He's watching Booker T's promotion tonight, girl.
I was watching Power. Oh, shoot. This is dope.
When Shane Taylor Promotions came down and they had the Legally Distinct Hennessy bottle, I was like, bro, what is this? Then when they approached Tony Schiavone, because I don't know how to describe it, but Tony Schiavone is in the cookout. He's been in the cookout. And I don't know how he got in there, but he's smooth operator. Tony's like, man, this is so unprofessional. I got 100 on score. The Hennessy, the money after the match, because first of all, this match was stiff. There was a part where Swerve bounced Shane Taylor, who's like 9,000 pounds and 9 feet nine approximately, off the apron. And Shane Taylor's a good seller, but the way he got up was like, I eat those. What do you mean you eat those? What do you mean? That house call was sick at the end. But it was Nana with the money, like, we won. Happy Juneteenth.
This was a Juneteenth off. I loved every minute of this. This was just so much Black references in one matchup. This was like a dream come true for me personally. Loved Che Taylor doing his big splash on to Swerve on the apron as Swerve's like bent this way, and he just like basically cuts him in half with the big splash. He was hitting the hell out of Swerve. He was laying everything in this matchup. Swerve hitting the Swerve stomp on the apron, that looked vicious as hell as well. But yeah, the MVPs of this matchup though were Nana and the infantry, basically putting out all the money, taking bets. You had Carly Bravo playing bookie and taking all the money. Tony Schiavone is getting involved. Oh man,
Tony Schiavone was. Gripes? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was like, Tony Schiavone was out here trying to act like Eminem in Aftermath or something like.
One of my gripes in wrestling recently was like, damn, I see all these YN gimmicks, but not a YN in sight. It was nice to see some pure YN without it being offensive. Be performed by YN. Who knew? Who knew? At an old head, because Nana, respectfully. Respectfully, Nana. Yeah.
Respectfully. We love you, Nana.
Definitely love you. You're an ON, but not a YN. Sorry.
Bad.
I love this match. This is my match of the night. Because sometimes I just want to see some things that'd be blackety black sometimes. And that was exactly what it needed to be. That was fantastic. I want to see that. Let the Casino Battle Royale be that.
Just a whole bunch of Black wrestlers. I need Ruckus to be out here. We need them.
Where's
all.
Willie
we need Willie Mack, Rich Swan. We need all the Black.
We need Ricochet to go so they can, as a light skin, they're going to make fun of him. But still, I need him to go. Somebody got to represent us.
What you mean, Trevor?
Listen, you leave our light skin king alone, all right? Somebody got to represent for the light skins right now, okay? Because the two light skins in AEW is down, okay? It's either Ricochet or Max Caster. Max Caster's numbers is in the garbage right now. He's making a comeback.
True.
He's making a comeback, but he's bum ass Baron Corbin right now. He's the Toronto Raptors back in like 97.
we need someone to come out with Tim's on or just everything.
That's Shane
we
Taylor.
Need
all. That is Shane Taylor. Ooh, I love this match. This is the best match of the night. I don't care.
This was the funniest and definitely my favorite of the night.
Oh man, I'm hot. I'm sweating. I'm sweating like the dude from Gangsta's Paradise almost. That's how I feel. So, okay, now that we can skip back and now skip ahead, we had Don Callis come out with Josh Alexander and Lance Archer. Don Callis says, roll that beautiful bean footage. And once again, they show the brutalization of our father, our son, the Holy Spirit, Kenneth Deshaun Omega. It's like, you see all that blood? I can smell the diver take, like, yo, that was a wild line.
That was wild. He was like, you could smell the diver in the day, the day coming out of him. I was like, this man is something wrong with this guy.
Yo, I am a Don Callis fan. A stan, even. But when he says stuff like that, I don't even want people to look in my direction. Like, he says, let me introduce you to the newest member of the Don Callis family, Kazuchika Okada. Makes sense. They had that little interaction before, and I was like, ain't no way. And I think this gives Okada a direction, because you can't just keep doing this to that to people every week. You know what I mean?
This is straight up like Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors. Like, they don't need him. They don't need Okada.
Yeah.
They got Steph Curry. They got Draymond Green. They got all these good players.
They got
Klay Thompson. Like, what do you need Kazuchika Okada?
You got 97, 98 Bulls. What are you doing? you got the dream team.
What do the 96, 98 Bulls need with David Robinson? What are we doing?
What do you mean you signed another Michael Jordan? How'd you find another one? Why do you need another one? I mean, this was good, but Don Callis says, hey, now when you get beat up, let it be known you're going to have no friends. I took all your friends. Nobody likes you. And here come Mark Briscoe. And I'm like, damn, I like you, Mark Briscoe, but don't get jumped. Don't get jumped, because they're going to jump you. They're going to jump you. I don't like that. The disrespect of Mark Briscoe has got to stop at some point. Mark Briscoe comes out and says, that's not cool. I'm going to be his friend. But that's not his only friend. And I'm like, who's his other friend? And then the music hit. And I was like, I wanted to cry beautiful tears of just, how could we forget Kota Ibushi?
I was like, wait, they didn't get his friend. They got his golden lover. They got his lover, his boo thing, his soulmate. Oh my God. Oh, it was so beautiful. Because not only is it Kota Ibushi, but it is 2019-2020, a physique Kota Ibushi.
Oh, like,
he looked absolutely jacked. I was like, I have not seen Kota Ibushi look this good in about 5 of them years. Like, he was out here looking like prime New Japan Pro Wrestling Kota Ibushi, and it was a great sight to see. Like, yeah. It's been too long that we've seen Kota Ibushi in this type of shape. I think he hasn't looked this good since probably his 2021 G1 final against Kazuchika Okada. Mm-hmm. So when he goes face to face with Okada in the ring, I'm like, yep, this is what he wanted. This is why he got back into extreme shape, because he wants that rematch with Okada. If you saw that matchup, you know he hits this crazy Phoenix Splash and Okada moved out the way, and on impact on the mat, he like tore his rotator cuff or tore his shoulder out of the socket, and he was done. His career has not been the same since that one spot. He's gone through injuries, gone through so much in his career. He had the ankle injury in 2024, and now he's back and he looks in prime shape. So glad to see Kota Ibushi back, and this just gives him even more juice to the Okada Omega 5 matchup coming up at All In, because now you don't have to rush Kenny Omega back, because now you can get Okada into game shape, because he can face Kota Ibushi on the road to All In.
No, absolutely. And maybe this is just me being a little bit of a hater, but count your days, Kyle Fletcher. Because if anyone's going to stop your little winning streak, it'll be this guy. Because I could see Okada beating Kenny Omega. I could see that. But I could also see in trade, Kyle Fletcher's winning streak get stopped by Kota Ibushi. And that match is going to...
Yes, sir.
Like, the crowd was chanting holy shit when Okada and Ibushi were in the ring. And once they started trading strikes, I was like, bro, I wasn't a New Japan fan back in the day. But if I was seeing this now, I know. You eating good. You about to be big back. You about to eat so good. And you don't got to stay up till 4 a.m. to watch this.
We're going to bounce.
So this, I cannot wait to see how this turns out. I know who wins. Us, the fans, me, you.
We win. Because because after All In, we're going to get the Golden Lovers back together. the greatest love story in pro wrestling history since Macho and Liz reunited at WrestleMania 7. I still get chills every time I think about 2018 when they got back together. They hugged in the middle of the ring, tears going down the eyes of all those Japanese fans in New Japan Pro Wrestling after Kenny was betrayed by Cody and Kota Ibushi came to rescue his boo thing. He had that old thing back. No heroin tracks. Oh my God. I can't wait.
Sports and Things took it out of my mouth. I'm thinking of Golden Lovers versus the Hurt Syndicate. What a time to be a wrestling fan. Where?
Run back, Golden Lovers and the Young Bucks. We can get some Golden Lovers and FTR. Come on, give me all of that.
Takeshna and Fletcher versus the Golden Lovers. Josh Alexander versus the
Golden Lovers versus Proto Shida. Give it to me. Five stars off the rip.
And Mike Speedball Bailey versus the Golden. I need this. Tony Khan, don't play with me.
Golden Lovers versus Jet Speed? Yes. Yes.
Golden Lovers versus Athena, and she beats both of them.
this is the end game. You're thinking end game. There you go.
We go to commercial after that. But when we come back from commercial, I don't know what was happening, but the Learning Tree and the Work Horseman, somebody was fighting over the last pudding cup. I don't know what happened. They were fighting. It spills outside. And it culminates with Big Bill. I think he puts JD through a bed of chairs. I was like, hey, yo, I don't even know what happened. Big Bill was about to tell us what happened. And here comes Christian Cage and the Patriarchy. First of all, shout out to Mama Wayne. That outfit ate. Okay? Christian Cage does, local town heat. You guys suck. The only good things to come out of here is the Wayne. So shut up while I conduct my business. He said, I don't mind you guys brawling, but when you eat up my airtime, then I have a problem with it. I was like, okay, I love the justification. He said, Nick Wayne has been wrestling at an amazing pace, a grueling championships pace. It's him, but it's really me. I was like, hey, yo. I thought he's about to announce at that point. It's going to be me versus Nick Wayne. I'm like, that's what you came out here to say? But no. He then says, I think it's about time. Nick Wayne doesn't stand behind me, but he stands beside me to be the first father and son duo to win tag gold in AEW. And I was like, wait a minute. That's not true. Spooky Dad and his son retired the belts together. Sting and Darby. Nice try. Nice try. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all of the people all of the time. Big Bill Point says, bro, that's not even your son. Anyone could be his dad. Get out of here, Grant. Y'all not even a team. And then Christian Cage says a bunch of inflammatory things, which I get it. But man straight up says, yo, are you drunk? Did you hit the bottle? Like, hey, yo, Christian, that man is literally 9 feet tall and you're 7 feet tall. And I believe that, but he's literally taller than you. What are you?
This whole segment went off the rails real quick because you had Big Bill calling Mother Wayne a whore.
Yeah.
And then you had Christian Cage bringing up Big Bill's alcoholism. He is savage. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Happy Father's Day, Christian.
Man, this, yeah, man, I don't know, man.
I was like, this escalated quickly. I was like, you guys just got out here. Why are y'all taking these type of shots? Goddamn.
Like, man, this guy was about to air, you cut him off. So technically, you cut him off, pal. Don't do that, Mimi. We do have a super chat from, I remember somebody told me how to say your name. SP3, Valor, thank you so much. Ibushi needs to run the roast before I know he's back. Or, just run. He's still walking. He's like he's a tank. I mean, have you seen his physique?
He got boulders for shoulders, man. Like, what do you expect?
Boulders for shoulders.
What do you expect, man? Like, relax, relax. I think he's good. I think he's going to be good. He's going to be, at least he's going to be better than the last time we saw him when he was riding a bike really, really slow. That was the last time we saw him in AEW. So,
last time I saw Kota Ibushi, he did a moonsault on a cell phone. And I was like, I see what you've done for others. I mean, never mind. Okay, so our next segment is Anthony Bowens backstage with Daddy Ass. And I understand being mad that you lost, right? I get it. Who likes to lose, okay? But Max Caster catching a stray for no reason. He said, I need to put some W's up in this column. Or else people are going to think I'm Max Caster. I'm like, hey.
I was like, why you got to do Max like that? At least Max is over. At least the crowd responds to Max.
I don't know, man. Is Max over?
Hey, every week I hear people saying, let's go, Max. You're the best wrestler alive. Let's go, Max. You're the best wrestler alive.
Oh, I'm sorry. Orion Ben says the same thing I just wrote down, too. Also, Daddy Ass calls Lexi, like, get out of here, Brittany. Like, hey, who the fuck is Brittany? Who's Brittany? That's Lexi, pal. Who's Brittany?
I was like, you know her name. Don't do that to that young lady.
That's her suit name. Hey, yo. We're using code names out here, Dr. Strange.
Oh, I didn't know. My name's Spider-Man.
I didn't know we were using code names out here. Damn. Two people catching three people. Because who's Brittany?
See, I think he's calling her Britney Spears. I don't know. That was strange.
Leave Britney alone.
Oh, man.
And when it comes to Max Caster, I'm like, damn. We had joked and said that the best way for Max Caster to get over at this point is to do the bum-ass Baron Corbin thing. And he low-key is. And I'm getting to the point where, like, damn, stop beating him. All right. Okay. He been stopped rapping. This is enough. This is enough.
See?
Okay.
See? He's doing well in his role. I've always thought that Bowens was the better in-ring performer, but he just hasn't figured out the character part of it. And that's why they made such a great tag team. They were basically the modern day version of the New Age Outlaws. The reason why the Outlaws were put together is they were yin and yang. Road Dogg was really good on promos. Billy was really good in the ring. You just put them together and they made an excellent tag team. And it was similar with the Acclaim, where Bowens was really good in the ring, Caster was really good on the mic.
That's a really apt comparison. Yeah,
they fit like a glove, because the other person's strength is the other person's weakness. So putting them together, they're a perfect tag team. And separating them, we are seeing the flaws in both of them.
I'm gonna say this, not you changing my mind on the Acclaimed with that comparison, because I specifically think of the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I think of that, and then I think of, yo, listen.
Because
in the beginning, it was hitting, and it was kind of corny, and then it was hitting until it wasn't. So I will look at me changing my opinion like a wrestler. I'm a flip-flopper. I'm sorry. I can't change my opinion. I say I hate them. I hate them to the death. I'm sorry. You can't change your mind as a wrestling fan. I'm sorry.
It's true.
After this, let me make sure I didn't skip anything this time. We do have a tag match between Speedball, Mike Bailey, and Kevin Knight versus the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leoa. Is it Toa Leoa? Okay, yeah. Toa Leoa.
Leona. Yeah.
Leona or Leoa? Yeah.
Leona. I think it is. Yeah. NA is.
Because I know there's someone with a name similar that's not them, and I don't want to get beat up. I cannot fight. Right?
I think you're thinking Tonga Loa?
Toa Leona. Thank you. Thank you, Toa Leona. Because I know there's a Tonga Loa, and that's not the same person, okay?
No.
Toa Leona. I'm going to remember it. This match had two big things that pointed out to me. There was a nasty lung blower from Bishop Khan. No, from Speedball. Wait, am I dyslexic? on Speedball from Khan. I'm dyslexic, as it turns out. Yeah, that was gross. And those spinning heel kicks at max speed to the side of Khan's head. My complaint about this is I really wish I would build up the Gates of Agony so I could believe that they're going to win.
Yeah. I mean, they could have at least had like Ricochet attempt to help them, because I do think that Ricochet should recruit the Gates of Agony because it would fit with his whole storyline with Swerve from the beginning of the year. Because, of course, some people tend to forget, and I understand if you do, the Gates of Agony used to be aligned with Swerve Strickland in the Mobile Embassy. So Ricochet recruiting them would make a lot of sense. He's just trying to make his own crew, and he can make his own mogul embassy, if you will. So that would make sense there. But yeah, I liked Ricochet on commentary, and I really thought that this was a really good matchup. I thought that it was a nice little styles clash where you got the bigger, more powerful Gates of Agony against the fast paced, high flying, high energy of Jet Speed. And they just make such a great tag team. Like, it's very much that Speedball has just fit very well with Kevin Knight, where he is Kevin Knight's Canadian version of Kushida, because they're basically just the intergalactic jet setters with a new name. They're Jet Speed and
Jet
Skiers. They've been. You have Speedball, who's just very fast and hard hitting, and the kicks are just always smooth. I agree that the Speedball kicks on Khan was very fun to watch, and just the different moments of the matchup where I thought it was over, and then they would have the big men just overpower them for a bit. And then I like the combination of the time adventure into the UFO splash. Uh-huh. I think it works really well, and how smooth they did it with him hitting time adventure and then immediately go into the triangle moonsault to the outside as Kevin Knight hit the UFO splash. Very well done. And I like this as kind of a preview of how Jet Speed can do in 2-on-2 action against a bigger tag team, because that sets up them to face the Hurt Syndicate, whether it's at All In or coming up in the next couple of weeks.
And I mean, it's not like Speedball and Kevin Knight are unfamiliar to each other. They worked in TNA together. So for me, this is a real treat to see them twice, together. And I'm always a fan of, y'all gonna love these TNA people. Sometimes it's just the presentation. And it's the same presentation they got over there, over here, and y'all love them. Speedball is a great addition to any roster. And in my hardest of hearts, I want an odd couple Speedball and Eddie Kingston. Like, Speedball, who's all like, we can do this. Let's put our minds together. Eddie Kingston's like, if you don't get away from me with that happy shit, I swear to God. I need that for me. It'd be my two favorite wrestlers. Speedball, get a little bit more grit. Like, Speedball, you too nice, Speedball. Slap him. Why would I say, slap him, Speedball? I need that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up on our main event. Getting your super chats, getting your humper chats. We have a humper chat from Orion Ben from earlier that said, once again, give Shane Taylor and Athena the ball. They know ball. They both know ball. We have another super chat again from Michael Allen Lewis saying that Athena, Megan Bain, double suplex though. Wow, meat. I love meat too. Let's talk about our main event, shall we, SP3?
Yes.
We have Athena the bully and friends. I'm kidding. Because that's what she was. Athena was being a bully. We have Thekla, Megan Bain, Penelope Ford with Athena. She also has Billy Starks that come out with her. They are versus Ty Mello, Anna Jay, Queen Aminata, and Thunder Rosa. I loved this match. I love women's wrongs. Because we were talking about this earlier on Grapsity. And sometimes I've heard the critique of Thunder Rosa that she's stiff. I've heard that critique of Athena too. So when the girls started brawling and the two girls who throw potatoes had a potato salad? Yes. Yes. I need that. I need Athena versus Thunder Rosa every week. What are we doing? Bro, like Orion Ben said, that double suplex from Megan Bain. Lord, I've seen what you've done for others. Not the devil's kiss, the devil's burp, the legally distinct devil's burp from Queen Aminata. That was so good too. This match, I like. Listen, legally distinct. Legally, it wasn't the devil's kiss because that's different.
Devil's burp. I like that.
And what
a lot.
Was that called?
The German suplex by Megan Bain. It just every time I see her hit that, I'm just like, why is this woman not like AEW or AEW Women's World Champion or TBS Champion? She's just an absolute monster. You can make her the top heel, top monster heel in AEW, and everybody she can rip through the way that she just overpowers anyone she's in the ring with. Is just amazing to watch. Love the spot where both Megan Bain and Athena did a Samoan drop and fall away slam at the same time on all four of their opponents. Like you said, Athena and Thunder Rosa was the dream matchup I didn't know I needed until I seen it for the first time. When I saw it in Warrior Wrestling back in like 2022 when Athena first left WWE and she was on the indie scene, I got to see her mixing up with Thunder Rosa. I was like, oh, when she comes to AEW, I was like, oh, they need to make that match immediately. I am mad that it took Tony Khan 3 years to finally give it to us, but it's here now. Do it. We had on True Hill Heat earlier today, Lyric Wrestling on there, and she suggested she wants to see Athena versus Thunder Rosa at All In, and I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yes.
Both women are from Texas, the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. Athena's had it for 900 days, one of the greatest title reigns in women's wrestling history. Why not give them that opportunity? If you're not going to do a Women's Casino Gauntlet, then give us Athena versus Thunder Rosa, because I think that Athena is the person that can bring the Thunder Rosa of 2021. Prime Thunder Rosa, her Charizard version, her fully evolved version of Thunder Rosa was 2021 Thunder Rosa, when she was one of the most popular women's wrestlers in the world. And I think that Athena is the type of person that can bring that out of her. Tony Storm at times have brought it out of her, but I think Athena can bring us back to the prime Thunder Rosa, and just them just slapping the taste out of each other's mouth, throwing bows, throwing forearms. Yeah. It's just so much fun. And the drop kick into the chest, I was like, oh, my chest hurt watching that. That was vicious.
Whoa, she looked like she killed Athena. Like,
I enjoyed the finish as well, with Red Velvet trying to gain favor with Athena Elite Wrestling. She wants to be on Athena Elite Wrestling more often, so she helped out Athena get the win in this matchup, and it sets up the Global Wars tag team matchup from Arena Mexico, with Thunder Rosa teaming with Persephone against Athena and Red Velvet. And this was actually, for the first time in a while, you actually gave people, with this finish where it really sets up that tag team matchup, uh-huh, a reason to watch Ring of Honor. That, right. They rarely do that on AEW, give you a reason to be like, hey, maybe I should watch Ring of Honor if I want to see this feud continue between Athena and Thunder Rosa.
No, absolutely. I think what you said about the casino battle royale, they don't do that. To have these two Texas girls have a battle in Texas, I think that's a missed opportunity. That match ain't going to be no taller than 5'7", two planktons going crazy. But it's going to be one of the best matches. Bro, and tell me I'm wrong. Yo, add Jordan Grace to that mix. It's the same thing. Yo, just muscle mommies killing each other. And I'm here for it. I support women's wrongs. I support it.
I'm here.
Honestly,
I'm here for it.
This match was great. We do get the win. Like SP3 said, Red Velvet slides her belt in. And Athena does hit the belt on the back of Thunder Rosa's head. Me personally, I wouldn't take that, Thunder Rosa. I wouldn't take that. And if I were you, I'm going to Mr. Anthony Khan tonight telling you, I heard you got space on All In. So I loved this match. This match was so good. Again, everybody did the thing. And Queen Aminata, I kind of want her to fight Megan Bain forever. Just too tall and killing each of women's wrongs.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Seeing Queen Aminata in this matchup and Tekla and Megan Bain, I was just like, yeah, give me the Women's Casino Gauntlet. I wish I would have announced it before the match that you're doing a casino Women's Casino Gauntlet, and then end the night that you're doing a Men's Casino Gauntlet, because we need all these women to be featured. We got to see Willow tonight. We got to see Chris Statlander tonight. I need all these women on the AE, on the All In card. So give me the Women's Casino Gauntlet. Like I said, Lyric came up with Athena versus Thunder Rosa, and I agree, both ladies deserve that opportunity in Texas. They'll probably most likely get it on Supercard of Honor, and then also put them in the Casino Gauntlet the next night at All In. Put Athena on every show during All In week. She should be all over Dynamite, Collision, the Supercard of Honor, and All In.
You could even add Deonna Purrazzo to that mix with them. And while Deonna isn't known for being as fast as they are, if she grabs one of them, that's a stretching. I'm sorry, that's a stretching.
Venus de Milo.
I make the joke every time. Every time she puts someone in the Venus de Milo, Perry Saturn sheds a tear, bro. Like, what are you talking about? That's somebody that should be on your TV every week. I don't understand how the champ of TNA is not on your TV screen. Same thing with Taya Valkyrie, who, La Huera Loca, who used to be bleeding with the... What are we doing here? I'm sorry, I got possessed by the spirit of wrestling in that one. I'm sorry. The Phantom of the Federation came over me. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
I love it.
And that was Collision, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make sure I read all of my super chats. Make sure I read all of my Humper chats. But in the meantime, SP3, if people need more SP3 in their life, their veins, where can they consume your content and give you money?
Always love the monies. But yes, find me over on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. That's where I post a lot of my content there. Most of my content is over at True Hill Heat Wrestling, where I'm there pretty much every day of the week. I'm always on the YouTube screens, most of all on Saturdays for our flagship podcast. Except next weekend will be on Sunday, but check out earlier today we did the flagship podcast with myself, Miss Chrissy Love, the True Jaw Josh, and Lyric Wrestling joined us. We talked all about Mercedes Moné winning the CMLL Women's World Championship. We talked about Mercedes being one of the most influential women's wrestlers of all time. We talked about John Cena's pipe bomb, Liv Morgan's injury, and what that meant. We talk about all of the wrestling universe. And if you like me on the Fightful screen, check me out on Fightful Overbooked every Tuesday and Thursday on In the Wheeze with Jeremy Lambert, where yes, probably next Tuesday, if things don't work out tomorrow night in the NBA Finals Game 7, I will be on trial because I convinced Jeremy to go to Game 6.
I'm not muted. I'm sorry. I've been seeing that all week, and I heard that you're Jeremy's demise, and you ought to be ashamed.
I'm praying they win. Protect home court, get the win, so I could get off these charges. I could get off these charges, man. I'm not trying to do time. I'm not trying to do time in YouTube jail, yo. I'm not trying to do the time.
That's live. That's gonna be you. Shout out if you're old enough to get that reference, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm the pappy. I'm gonna be like Martin and Eddie Murphy in life. I'm the pappy.
It's gonna be Jeremy to you when he see you in jail. You go eat your cobra. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Crystal Star. You can see me every Thursday and every Saturday here over on FIFO. Covering TNA and AEW, respectively. I am here with Joe Pearl on Thursdays, and it'd be a combination of SP3, Iridian, Rick, and Sean Ross Sapp on Saturdays. We're out here. Sometimes I'm on Grab City. Sometimes I ride slow. Sometimes I'm riding quick. It doesn't matter. Nix and five.
Oh, look at the bars. We got one more super chat as well.
Bam, we get this one in at the buzzer. We do have another super chat that says Bandito will probably work the Ring of Honor pay-per-view and have a match at All In. So why not Athena in our hometown?
I'm with it. I'm with it. I agree. Athena better be on that all-in card, or we're going to have problems. You're going to pay for your crimes, Tony Khan.
I'll walk to your... No, I won't. Let me make my fake threat, okay? Let me make my fake threat. Let me be clear here. This is fake, okay? I'll walk to your house, and I'll knock on your door politely and be like, yo, what the fuck, dude? And when you say you're calling the cops, I'm running. Like, how did you find my home? I'm out of there. She's a runner. She's a track star. We're running out of here, guys. Thank you so much for being here. For myself, SP3, take care of yourself and each other. Your butt looks nice. Hope you find $20 on the floor. See you next Saturday. Bye.
We're going down, down, in a linear ride. Sugar, we're going down.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.